Of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is the 5th of January, 2022. I keep saying the 2022 just to get people
Oh,
into
I wrote
it.
A couple checks the other day. It was tough.
Yeah. Hey, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's here. Good morning, Jared.
Morning.
How are you?
Jared's morning didn't start off real well. We're going to discuss that later.
What?
Yeah, well, you know, he's here, though. He's always, you know, he makes it through adversity. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, hon.
Well, gosh, Jared, I can't just pretend like I didn't hear that.
I got up this morning and got in the car to get here, and the car no longer had a muffler on it. So someone stole my catalytic converter last night.
Which is a huge crime around here. Well, it's all over the place.
Oh, man.
And it's parked in his driveway. It's not like it's parked on the street.
Oh, man. That's just, you know,
that's one of the things we're going to talk about with RPG.
Yeah, we are. And we're going to talk about that probably with our upcoming guest that's here, which is a wonderful surprise. I'm sorry, Jared, because it feels like you've been violated. You know, your everyday routine has just been like, but anyway, so sorry about that, dude. You okay?
I'll manage.
All right. Chance of rain and patchy fog today with our high 53 and overnight lows of 43. Chance of rain and patchy and fog tonight. Thursday calls for chance of rain and patchy fog with a high of 56. Thursday night is the overnight lows of 46. Friday calls for 100% chance of rain. Woo! With a high of 52, chance of rain and patchy fog on 39. Now, I have friends that say, guess what? The weekend's going to be nice. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 56. You know, it's going to be beautiful with that glistening sky after we've had so much rain. Sunday will be sunny once again with a high of 57, overnight lows of 39. That's the weather in the forecast. It's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, which is located in Anderson, where their customers are their warm friends. They take care of all of your propane and gas needs. 365-3793.
Our guest this morning is running for the recall election, Tariq Mahmood, and I can't even, you know, I got close.
You actually did very good. You know, so good job.
Yeah.
District running for district, a supervisor, district 2.
Yes, sir. Right.
Okay, well,
welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having
me. You're a very pleasant person, by the way.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, no, you are. tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, so first off and foremost, my name is Tariq Mahmood, and I'm running to be District 2 supervisor to replace Modi. I came here in Shasta County in 2013. I came here. I got two pharmacy jobs. I got one with Rite Aid. We talked about that earlier. But also I worked with...
So you're a pharmacist.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Which is very noble. Thank you very much. Well,
thank you very much. By the way, I was mentioning this also. It's we're actually the most trusted healthcare professional statistically. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
And that's another motivation why I'm running to be District 2 supervisor. I think we would benefit from having a healthcare professional that people can trust as a supervisor in the middle of a pandemic at this time.
Wow.
And so that would be a good thing. But anyway, generally speaking, I managed a pharmacy here in town for the last 5 years, CVS Pharmacy Inside Target. And I'm licensed in California. I'm licensed in Washington and Oregon. I've worked also in Egypt with my dad. He has two pharmacies over there I help manage. So I have a lot of management experience. I also been in the grand jury in 2019-2020. So I have recent experience dealing with the county and county officials. I'm familiar with some of the problems that a lot of people face, whether it's in District 2 or beyond, and I'd love to serve our county. I loved Shasta County ever since I got here in 2013. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody thinks that it's been getting better since 2013. And myself included, and that's one of the things that motivated me to join the grand jury, and it's one of the things that motivates me to obviously run right now to be District 2 supervisor, but before that, to support the recall, to make sure that we got here.
Okay.
But can I just ask you a quick question? Because, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, what you bring this world experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you have your license in these other states. Mm-hmm. Where were you before Reading in 2013?
So that's awesome. That's so for me, and this is why I bring a lot of appreciation to the table. I lived in Egypt for a long time. I grew up. Most of my schooling was in Egypt, and I graduated in 2010. That's when I graduated from pharmacy school. When I got here, I was one of the youngest pharmacists that I know of that graduated from pharmacy school. I graduated when I was 24 years old. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. But anyway, I was in Fresno.
Okay.
It was fun fact also to add to that, my story
Armenian
in Fresno.
Territory.
That, and then also a lot of, it's a bigger town. Bigger, a lot of problems. And again, fun fact about me when I was in Fresno, I worked as a school teacher there, and I also got a license as an armed guard there. So I have a little bit of experience in that domain as well. Related to that, I'm a martial artist. I've been a martial artist ever since I was in third grade. And so, but anyway, Fresno and then Sacramento. I lived in Marysville also. And then finally Reading. So it's kind of like a creep upward.
You creep northward.
Exactly. It's like, I don't like it down here. Let's go
north. Every time I go north, it's a little better.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a sentiment I definitely do share.
Tariq, what's your largest concern about what's facing our county, a specific one? I'll give examples of public safety, budgets, those kind of things.
We'll talk about everything, but I think if you ask me what's the main issue, we have bad representation here. I really do believe that our district supervisor, Modi, but just generally, a lot of the supervisors don't reflect the culture up here in Shasta County. They don't reflect the culture up here in Northern California in general. I feel like a lot of people that supported the recall because they feel like Redding is turning more and more into Sacramento. And nobody wants that. There is a reason why we live in Redding, not Sacramento. And so I feel like we need better representation. We could benefit from better representation. And that's what I think I could bring to the table.
Okay, I'm going to take an early break. When we come back, we're going to talk about examples of what you would do.
Sounds good.
If you get elected. Okay.
Sir?
This portion of the show, what is today? Today's Wednesday, right?
And by the way, it's Tariq Mahmoud, Mahmoud. He has a Facebook page and a couple of live podcasts on there.
And two debates that all the candidates were in. So I'd encourage everybody to take a look at that and compare my answers to obviously them.
All right.
Yep.
Cool.
So this portion of the show is brought to you by
Cornerstone Community Bank. Uh-huh. Getting ready to make a big change there. Jeff Fink is getting kicked upstairs because he's done such a great job.
He's a great guy.
And
you know
Matt Mosley.
Also a great guy doing wonderful work in our community.
Taking over. You know what? It is. It's more than just being the bank president. He is part of our community. And I can just tell you is that Cornerstone Community Bank is going to continue to move local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. In fact, this month they're getting ready to open up the Anderson branch. So that's Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, local board of directors. We'll be right back with Tariq Mahmoud.
The County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson, January 22nd. They feature new and existing vendors along with collectible glassware, jewelry, sports memorabilia, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, and much, much more. It's Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening with free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, my name is Martin Reed, and I'm one of the teachers here in Shasta County who started the school walkout in protest of mandates. I'm sick of government overreach. Tim Garman, the president of Happy Valley School Board, voted to not enforce the mandates in his school district. Now, he is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, and Tim will end the mandates in Shasta County as well. Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi, and vote for Tim Garman. No more mandates. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bond. It is 7:17 in the morning. It's 50 degrees, so much nicer than it was Monday. Hey, we are here with a candidate for
District 2
in the recall, Tariq Mahmood. And he is a resident and has been a resident here since 2013, born in New York, raised a large part of your life in Egypt, is a pharmacist here in town. Doesn't think that the representation is what it should be.
That was the last segment, is what you stated.
Exactly, yeah.
Did I catch everything there?
Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah,
to our next segment.
And awesome. So the biggest concern that you see.
Okay, so because of what I said, we have a problem with homelessness. We have a problem with crime in Reading. We, unfortunately, literally had to start the show with one of our people here that just got victimized today.
Yeah. Cadillac Converter stolen from the
front. I don't know how much more appropriate this can be to talk about the problem we have here in terms of crime, in terms of homelessness, in terms of drug addiction, frankly. And I think that these are a lot of things that I can bring a lot of relevant skills to the table as a pharmacist interacting with Health and Human Services with, interacting with law enforcement with, trying to work with them for better results. I think at the end of the day, whether you're a liberal or conservative in this county, we could all agree, however we do it, we want better results. And I think that's why our board has been tone deaf. We aren't getting better results. Year after year, it's getting worse. The maintenance of our roads are worse. It comes out on us when it comes to the fires. You know, a lot of our, especially rural areas and the forested areas, the roads aren't maintained. The dirt roads aren't maintained. And then we end up not being able to fight the fires effectively. Fire fuel management in general wasn't, you know, taken care of very well. And there's just so many problems. We have to make sure that we have a supervisor that's going to be responsive, that's going to be focused on results, not just talking to people and, frankly, antagonizing them for the most part, because they're more interested in what Sacramento wants us to do than what the people here want us to do.
The what would you do about the jail or lack of jail? Everybody, I don't know if there's anybody that does not agree that we need another 600 spots. So we either need to build another jail or build one large jail with 1,000 beds and then shut the other one down.
So here's what I'm saying. Public safety is very important. And part of that, especially in California, we need to be able to make sure that we actually have space for a lot of the people that we are going to apprehend on the streets. And so, yes, I would definitely support extra jail space. But how we're going to do that, I really don't feel like it's appropriate for me to promise anything right now on air before I'm a supervisor, before I know what I have to work with.
Right.
I bottom line agree with the idea that we definitely need more beds. We need a better prison in general. My understanding, the prison that we have here now is just so concrete and built far back that it's really hard to expand. Like, you can't expand that building itself. We need a different building. Whether we're going to make a whole new different building for the jail or create an annex for extra beds, extra space, I'm flexible. The idea is that we just, again, we need results. We need more beds, period. We need to be able, when we catch somebody, not release them the same day, just because we have to literally go through a list of who's worse, who do we need to keep in the jail. That's just a very sad state to be in, and I'm sure police don't appreciate that.
When did you decide, and I always like this when you say, you know, because you can stay comfy and whatever, wherever your spot is that you think, I can't, you know, but to throw your hat in the ring and know that you're going to get punched along the way.
Oh, yeah.
What, I mean, like, not literally, but, you know, air punched and who knows. what made you decide? What was the deciding factor when you went, that's it? I'm throwing my hat in the ring. That's it. I'm gonna do this.
I'll be honest. I really can't point to just one because, like, for example, my experience with the grand jury was definitely one. Like, my experience with the grand jury is definitely a motivating factor of why I want to get involved in our local politics and do a better job and do something. I want to be in a position that has more efficiency or more potential for effective change than just being a grand juror.
That's a wonderful catchphrase, what you just said.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And then here's the thing, too, is that, you know, a lot of people like to complain. I have been a pharmacist for a long time, and I love interacting with the public, and I hope you feel very comfortable talking to me right now, because I like that. I like to, that's my favorite part of my job is consultation, talking to people, getting to know people. But what I'm trying to say is that at some point, because of all that, people always hear me ranting about politics at some point in the conversation. And so for me, you know, at a time, you get sick of just talking. Just talking is not changing anything. Exactly. And frankly, voting is not enough either. Voting is not enough either. You have to get involved. Be the change you want to see in the world.
You get what you vote for.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the moving of the or putting more jail space out there. The some of the other things that they're facing is the casino being in the process of being looked at again. What's your thoughts on the casino out there on I-5?
I like that you brought that up because here I'm going to highlight the fact that it's really not a defining issue for me. That's an example of an issue that I would like to hear what the public has to say in more detail. Especially see what I have to work with as a supervisor, and then decide what I want to do in that department. But here's what I will say. The perception as far as I have right now is that the casino is part of our county, and they use some of our county resources. And as far as I know, a lot of the frustration stems from the fact that a lot of people don't think that the casino gives back to the county as much as they take. We need to look at that, obviously. We need to also respect their ability to grow. If they want to grow, they're a business just like any other business in the county. They live here just like everybody else, and we have to respect that.
Second Amendment.
That is a very big motivating factor why I run, actually, because I noticed the flag that you have here, but for me, I'm a very big Second Amendment proponent, and, you know, I've owned a lot of guns. It's one of the reasons why I loved Reading when I first got here. I had an AK-47. I have an AR. I have multiple shotguns. I had handguns, just all kinds of handguns.
You've been a police officer. You've been, like you said, in front of...
Armed guard. Yeah.
Okay.
And so for me, the Second Amendment is very important to me because, especially of my experience outside of the country. Like, this is something I wasn't, thankfully, in Egypt at the time, but, you know, in Egypt, we had a military dictatorship. Then we had a popular uprising where we got our first democratically elected president ever. And then the military, just 2 years later, overthrew him. Around 2012, 2013, they killed 800 people on the street on just one day.
Are civilians allowed to have firearms?
No. The government has a very comfortable monopoly over the use of force. And that's dangerous. And that's why I support the Second Amendment.
See, it's good for people to hear that from somebody 100%. Who's lived in that world.
Well, yeah, and then 100%, because people here don't realize that the Second Amendment, our Second Amendment rights, even without shedding any blood, here in America, has helped a lot of people, up to and including our African-American community. Like, back in the 60s and 70s, a lot of people don't realize this, but part of why we have an individual right, or at least the courts have acknowledged an individual right to bear arms, and even sometimes to walk with them freely, is the fact that... some of the Black Panthers, I believe, ended up going to court because they wanted to start watching police with their guns on them. And obviously that made a lot of people uncomfortable, including the police officers. So it ended up going to court, and guess what? The court said, nope, they have a right to do that.
All right.
One of the reasons...
It helps civil rights. It helps everything.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely true. After the Civil War, they made all these rules that blacks couldn't have guns.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea is that you have access under the Constitution to firearms. Okay, let's move on. Water. Water is a big problem we have in Shasta County. Yeah. I wouldn't expect you to know all the ins and outs of it, but your thoughts?
My thoughts is that we have a challenge that a lot of the water is earmarked for other places in California, and how are we going to represent ourselves a little bit more aggressively so we can retain our water rights, especially because we have a lot of wells. A lot of people talk about the Sacramento River and all that good stuff. We have the Shasta Dam, Keswick, all that good stuff. But the thing is that, you know, something as simple as wells, a lot of people are afraid of things like the wells being taxed drawn away from them, from their personal use, even though it's their well. And so that's something that's, I mean, for me, another thing that I would talk about is that, you know, a lot of people have private property here. They have houses, and the building department and others in the county, they use every opportunity to ask for permits, for fees, and then now you're going to ask for their water. That is frustrating. I mean, as a homeowner, I'm a first-time homeowner. It's so expensive to have a house in America, in specifically California, and in Shasta County. The last thing people want to worry about is their water going away, too, especially if they live in a rural area. So, again, it's just more aggressive representation, more aggressive fight to make sure that we can retain our water rights as much as we can. You know, it's nice that almond growers want to grow almonds in Southern California and elsewhere. But you know what? We want to live. How about that?
Tariq, we got like 1 minute left, so this is your minute to tell people why to vote for you. And like I said,
and
you'll
where
come
to go?
Back.
See your page.
And see your page and all that.
Well, I'll start with saying my page. My page on Facebook is Tariq Mahmoud, TarikMahmoud. And that's where you will be able to see 2 debates, 2 podcasts increasing, and some radio interviews, including hopefully this one if I can get an MP3 about it. But this is where you'll see all the media. This is where you'll be able to contact me directly, and I'd hope to be your next District 2 supervisor. You guys got the ballots in the mail yesterday, and you're going to get some today and tomorrow. Make sure that you vote. Voter turnout is the most important thing. I hope I could earn your vote. Please go ahead and check out my Facebook. Please go ahead and listen and watch everything I have. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. I'd be more than happy to answer anything and gain your support.
Tariq.
Thank you. Mahmoud. Yes. We'll have you on again.
Yes, I look forward to it.
More
thank
in depth.
You. Okay. Thank you.
This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair, Jeff Wurst, veteran-owned business. Nobody's better than Jeff. And Jeff just had a birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Fixing cracks and chips in your windshield. At this time, especially when we're going in the cold weather and going and put the heater on in the car, you can, those cracks and those chips can grow. And so you want to have those, fixed. And Jeff can do that up to 22 inches. That's on 273. That's Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
You can make an appointment for a free analysis and inspection. 3208 South Market Street. Give them a call at 241-8373. We'll be right back with Kathy Darlin Allen.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Celebrate with us all month long at Wind River Resort and Casino and play our $100,000 Wild Cherries Zoom Ball Swipe to Win. Win big cash prizes or $100,000. Plus, earn entries all month long to increase your chances to be a contestant Thursday at 7 p.m. Cheer for the colored balls to fill the Zoom Zone and walk away a winner. But wait, there's more. All contestants will have a second opportunity to win a new Wild Cherry Dodge Challenger. See WindRiver.com for official rules and find your moment with us at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's
365-3793. Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed. A new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:34 here in the morning on the 5th of January, 2022. Good morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by State Granite.
Mike Huber, if you're listening, because I do know that he does listen when he's in his wonderful space where you can see his showroom. You can talk to him about what you need. He'll come out and do an estimate of whether it's stone, granite, countertops, fireplace work. I mean, he's a true artist. He does all kinds of things. If you can dream it, he can do it. That's the truth. You can go to 241 Stone or estategranite.com. Ask for Mike. He's the owner. He's the go-to guy. All right. So we have a very special guest with us in this portion of our show.
Is Kathy Darlin Allen, the County Registrar.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well,
okay. Now, every time you come in here and there's an election coming up, you've got an announcement. Sometimes it was well, that first paragraph doesn't quite match what's in there, and we're mailing out
that
some more.
That only happened one time, and yet we talk about it.
There was another time, too, but see, here's the best thing. You catch it, and then you tell people about it.
Here's what's great about what
but
you
there's
do.
nothing going on this time.
No, okay. Not that I'm aware of.
What the great thing is about what you do and why we're saying this is because we honor you in the fact that things happen. And a person of real authority that has integrity and respect stands up, doesn't pass the buck, and makes it happen, whatever it is. So that we start today in 2022 by saying we respect you and honor you and thank you for what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Well, a lot of times you don't get
maybe you don't get enough attaboys.
In the last
attagirls.
In the last election, I asked you every possible question I could, every negative question about the voting systems, everything. If you remember, I did it courteously, but I wanted you to kind of allay the fears of people.
Sure.
Which I think you did. I mean, you even said the machines they use in L.A., those aren't the best machines. That's kind of scary. You said something like that.
Okay. I don't remember. I believe you.
All right. Okay. So welcome to the show.
Thank
Let's
you
start
so
all
much.
Over and say, okay, what's on your mind? Where are you now? What's happening?
Well, we've got an election started.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So Monday was the first day of early voting for the recall election on February 1st in District 2 for supervisor.
Okay. So the packets have been mailed out.
So, yeah, I brought a copy for you guys if you want to see the book that we send out. And then also, of course, ballots went out as well.
And this is just for people in District 2.
This is just for District 2. Right. And it's just for District 2 as it was delineated in 2011. So if you recall, just last month in December, the supervisors adopted new boundary lines.
That's right.
But that is not the set of boundary lines that are in play for this election. So
no matter where anybody lives now, well, no matter where anybody
no matter where
lives,
the lines are
no
now.
Matter where the lines
the people
are,
haven't moved. The lines that are
right,
moved.
No matter where they've moved right. the lines, yes. people can still run, can still be elected.
Correct.
And serve yes. out their
the term their that is in play right now. Correct. Exactly.
Okay. And that was there was some consternation about that because I understand a couple of them got districted out.
And if you were paying attention, which there were many meetings about this topic. So if this detail got missed by folks, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But we actually, one set of the lines that were proposed drew Joe Comente out of District 1 entirely. Now, we didn't know at that point that he was not going to run again, or maybe he actually said that into the microphone. We didn't know that because we don't, that's not part of our equation. That's not part of our process. And it's actually prohibited by law for us to consider where incumbents or candidates live. As far as districts are concerned.
Now, what part do you have, or do you, when it comes to
I'd
drawing?
Like to say we are the pencil.
okay.
And so the supervisors, the Board of Supervisors has the authority to and has the obligation to rebalance the districts every 10 years through mm-hmm. the redistricting process. They can hire a consultant. They could task the IT department with their staff, who have GIS knowledge to do that work uh-huh. for them.
Well, they put together a committee this year.
Right. So that's one of their – so in April, we went to the board and said, here are your choices. How would you like to handle this? And they made the choice to convene an advisory board, mm-hmm. Which met many times over the summer and presented two options to the board and then –
Were those options chosen?
No, they were not.
I didn't think so. So after choosing a blue ribbon panel there, these are what, you know, after working on it for four or five months,
yeah,
they present it to the Board of Supervisors who then just tossed it in the trash can.
Well, it wasn't, I don't know if I would characterize it in that way, but at the end of the day, the supervisors have the authority to make the choice.
Oh, no, of course
they made do. They made the choices that they made. Right, so they could have, instead of appointing an advisory body, they could have appointed an independent commission that would have drawn the lines and that would be it. But they didn't give their authority away in that way.
Okay.
They retained the authority and created an advisory board who advised, and then they went a different direction.
Well, okay, that's kind of the way that things happen sometimes. But
she's probably
you probably brought this up, but just to reiterate, there are two ways to vote in this election, either by mail or person. There are no online.
Correct.
Okay, and there are multiple ways to return your voted ballot. You can either bring it to the office or bring it to your polling place.
On election day only.
Okay. On election day only, bring it in person.
I'm sorry. Polling places will only be open on February 1.
Polling place will be February 1st.
So if you want to deliver your ballot in person, you need to bring it to the office between now and then. Or on February 1st, you can take it to one of the 12 polling places that will be open on election
and
day.
And it's not all drop boxes across the county are going to be open.
Correct.
So
my favorite example is Bernie. We have a permanently installed drop box up there. And normally we have people checking it daily. But this time we decided that was way outside of District 2 and probably not going
to
be utilized.
We
don't need to spend tax money driving up to Bernie, you know, to collect ballots. So we have a sign on the box telling folks how to find an open box, or postage is paid. Return postage is paid on every ballot that goes
out. For somebody listening and they're saying District 2, where is District 2?
So District 2 is the western part of the county, and there are maps. If you want to see a map, which is usually much more helpful than me talking about the towns that are included, right? Grant School District is a great example
of
being in District 2, if that helps folks to anchor you a little bit. But there is a map on the county webpage. If you go to the county supervisor's page, there's a link on the left-hand side that says District Maps. And if you click on that, it will take you to the current map. And at the top of the page is a link to the 2011 lines, which is what you want to click on to go and check and see if you live in the old version of District 2, which is where this election is being held.
Okay, old version.
Why would somebody from Bernie be voting in District 2?
So that's why we didn't open the box.
Okay, good. Okay, but you said
they could work in Bernie.
They could work in Bernie. You're absolutely right.
So, okay. I mean, or they could just be, you know, on their way out of town.
I forgot to drop my ballot off on February 1st. Oh, now I need to drive back. Okay. Now, a question here, and I thought I answered, but maybe not, because you're the expert. On this election, there is a yes or no.
Correct.
For do you, you know, are you voting to recall Leonard Modi or voting against it? So yes for recall, no for
retaining.
Retaining.
Right. Yeah.
But does then, and that's a simple majority, 50% plus one.
Correct.
Then you've got a list of four candidates, that then even if you vote to retain Leonard Modi, you can still vote.
Absolutely.
Which is a good idea. You know, vote for, you know, okay, I want to, you know, a person may say I want to retain Leonard Modi, but I'm going to vote for this person in case he loses.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how you vote the top of that ballot. You can still vote the bottom. It is your ballot to do with it as you wish. You can leave that top question blank and just pick someone on the bottom.
Okay.
You can vote the top only and leave the bottom blank. It's entirely up to the voter.
But you say, okay, yes, I want to recall him, and then you choose one of the four below to be if the recall does happen. It's all if.
Correct.
And then this person. Now, you've got four people. You could have somebody with 23%, 25%.
Oh, and be the victor? Yes.
And be the victor.
Yeah, and there's less. So there's an ongoing conversation at the state level about how recalls are conducted in California precisely because of what you're talking about. And it was really it's an ongoing conversation in the legislature right now, but a lot of recall, you know, there's I don't know. I don't know. I can't read Sacramento sometimes about what they're going to do or not going to do. But there is definitely a conversation happening about how recalls are conducted in California. And one of the things that our current Secretary of State has mentioned publicly multiple times is the fact that someone with a very small percentage of the vote, especially for governor, when there were so many candidates, the winner could potentially be somebody who would never have approached victory in a regular election.
And something when you get a lot of
at the percentage.
Right.
Yeah.
If you get a lot of, you get 20 candidates, somebody could literally become governor with 10%
right.
of
exactly.
the vote.
Correct.
Okay.
I need to bring this up before we take a break really fast about the return envelope. Must be signed.
Yes.
Here's something that comes up because as we age, maybe it's medication, maybe it's an accident, maybe it's whatever, our signature does change.
Yes.
And so you do need to, if you've been like, oh, my writing is wrong, you need to have your signature updated. And that is something that's just come to light for me right now. So you go to the office, get your signature up to date.
You can also just re-register to vote, and that will have the same effect. But you do need a paper card to make that work in the way you're talking about.
All right.
So you can call us, and we'll be happy to mail one to you.
And you said one of, if I remember right, you said one of the biggest changes in handwriting isn't just us old people, but it's
the young people.
Young people as they, as in 10 years there.
Yep. A lot of times kids will register to vote online, and what happens is when you register to vote online is we're pulling your signature from your DMV record, and if it's a 20 or 21 year old, their DMV signature might be the signature they made at 15 and a half when they applied for their first permit. And between 15 and 25, your signature changes dramatically. And so that is definitely an age group that's affected by signature mismatches.
Let that be your lesson learned today. Pass that word on. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, our friends that have been our sponsors since the day we started. We had our wedding rings made there. We do our shopping there and our watch repair there and everything that we could possibly do within the jewelry world and our belongings that are special to us. Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive in Redding, California. That's 222-2750. We'll be right back on KCNR. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is Your Talk Radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio, with no particular place to go.
Supervisor Modi claims he protects your water rights, but on further investigation, we find Modi last year approved a water contract that scalped a small water district in the north part of Shasta County with a 250% increase over normal and in a state of emergency. The foundation that owned this water right now is linked to donating thousands of dollars to Modi's campaign. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Slow down.
Hi,
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Vote yes. Recall Modi. Recently, the Shasta County Planning Commission voted 5-0 to stop the Fountain Wind Project. But when it came before the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, only Modi voted to support the project, bowing down to a special interest group instead of listening to the people. The Intermountain communities would have been devastated. Now we learn the same special interest group is donating thousands of dollars to Modi's campaign. Vote yes and recall Leonard Modi. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back. We play by Carl's rules.
Ooh, yeah.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, 7:51 in the morning on the 5th of January, 2022. This portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash Bin. You know, I was just down there yesterday. I'm trying to do something every day that betters my life. In this case, it was vacuum out my truck. I know it doesn't sound like a big thing, but I'm so happy now. But it was at Quick and Clean Car Wash. You know, they're not open during the rainy season here, but when they do, head on down there to Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros on Market and Eureka Way. Great place to get your car wash, special soaps, special waxes. It's brushless. And then you have a great young man or woman out there tallying off your vehicle. It's great. If you buy 5 car wash coupons, you get 1 free. Buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash. Hey, we're here with Kathy Darlin Allen, one of my favorite elected officials, because this is the type of person Kathy is. In the afternoon, I send an email. Hey, Kathy, can you come on tomorrow morning at 7:30? Sure can, and talk about the election. And because you want to get the information out.
Absolutely.
So you have the ballots are in the mail.
The
information's in the mail.
The book, right. Mm-hmm.
You have to vote by February 1st.
Correct.
So you can either mail them back in, or you can drop them off early down here at your office.
Yeah, and you can actually vote in person inside the office also from now until election day.
Okay.
So for folks who want to cast their ballot in person and put it through the scanner themselves, they can do that at the office right now.
And then on February 1st, the polling places will be open, and the regular polling places in the 2nd district.
In that district, right. There's 12.
And it's just 2nd district. So if you're in 1st district and you're feeling like you've been left out, guess what? Committee didn't get recalled.
Right.
So you have been left out.
So far we've had Tim Garmin on. And we've had Tarek Mahmood, who was on this morning, and will be on again because we only had a half. Everybody gets an hour.
Dale Ball's on tomorrow.
Okay.
And we've reached out to
Tony.
To Tony Hayward, but we've also reached out to Leonard Modi.
Yes.
I've reached out twice to Leonard to say, you know, no phone calls, Leonard. I realize some people, you know, it could be. I just want him to be able to tell
his story.
His story, but just the things, you know. People have been saying all these things about Leonard Modi. Leonard Modi needs a chance to say, well, this is what I have accomplished without people, without the flying monkeys coming in. And
without a shouting match, maybe.
Yeah, without a shouting match, I hope. I mean, I don't expect to get into a shouting match with Leonard, but, you know.
No.
Leonard's Leonard, okay?
He's been on our show several times, but I would understand, you know, we just don't need... For you, nothing gets accomplished
in the attack role.
In the attack mode for anybody.
And that's why people will say things that are running for office that I totally don't agree with. But that is their opinion. And that's kind of, you are just as, I think you're in the same way here. Nobody would ever know how you vote.
Well, we are nonpartisan in California. Election officials, all local election officials are nonpartisan in California.
Here you go.
I need to be closer to the microphone.
Be closer to the microphone.
That's all right.
You have such a...
So how do you deal with people who come in, and do you experience people who are contentious when they come in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the last 6 years or so, how we conduct elections has increasingly become a conversation, right, at the national level. Mm. Lots and lots of concern about... the 2020 election in particular, I'm sure you all are very familiar. So we have, you know, as a result of some of that information, some of which is bringing up accurate and definitely concerning stuff that's happened in other states. But there is, you know, there is a portion of that information that's just flat out false. And so that's tough. And there's tons of studies and stuff that are being done about that. Go ahead, Carl.
Voting machines tied to the internet at all?
No.
And that was an important thing that people need to understand. If they're not tied to the internet, how, you know, people are saying they were hacking in. If you're not tied to it, are standalones? Is that what they do?
It's a completely standalone network.
Yeah.
Within our office, there are servers downstairs, and then there are cables that go from those servers to the, what's the right word? Slave computers. I hate to use that word, but that's kind of how master-slave relationship in a network. Anyway.
No, I think we're talking.
But it's an internal.
What are we looking, are we looking for here? Routers?
Routers. There
no,
we go.
No, there is not routers. Router. Oh, no routers.
No, it's a single cord that goes from the network.
To the computer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's, anyway.
You'd have to hack into that cord.
You would have to physically break into the office.
Okay.
To manipulate. And then you would have to have the right passwords.
And then
you'd have to know the software, which is proprietary. It's not like we're, you know, using a SQL database. Yeah. It's, anyway.
The other thing is that you counted 10,000 ballots and compared.
In November of 2020, right. Part of the process in California, and that is kind of where I was going to go earlier, is the security stringent requirements for California are different than other states. Our requirements in California for testing and certifying voting equipment in California are more stringent than the federal rules. So we're really, I think, doing things right in California. But you're exactly right, Carl. We do an audit after every election of a certain portion of the ballots. And by that, I mean we hand count a certain portion of the ballots. We're required to count 1%. In 2020, we actually ended up counting closer to over 10%. Just because of the nature of the election.
And you didn't find one.
And we did not find one
not
variance.
One.
And those that we videotaped the entire thing, it's on Facebook. You can go watch the Facebook Live
if
videos.
You started getting a variance, if you started getting a variance, that would be, I would worry.
But that's what the process is for. So in another county 20 years ago, election department found a large variance when they were doing their 1%, and it was because it was right when gel pens first came out in like 2005, I think. And that may not be when gel pens came out. That's when this happened.
Okay.
So in any case, the settings on their tabulator didn't see the gel pen marks. So when they started counting by hand, of course, the human eye can see that, obviously.
Oh, okay.
And so they discovered there was a problem. So they recalibrated the machine, changed the settings, and were able to rerun the ballots. And they did a big press release, and there was a whole conversation about it.
But they reran all
that's
the ballots.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of that 1%,
here's
is to make sure
thing
tabulators are working.
Before going good, people, if they want to observe you all,
happy to have them. So we have a list of folks who we notify every election of that opportunity, but you don't have to be on any list. Anybody can come in and observe anytime they want to. We're open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
We ought to go down there once just to see it.
You should.
We should after this much time.
Yeah.
Well, see, I guess it's because I know you. People don't know you personally.
Right.
I know you personally, and this is one of the reasons it's great for you to come on. I see how you've done it. I know you. I see how the people that work for you handle things.
I have an amazing team.
And so I'm pretty confident in it. But, I'd just like to come down and see if this is how it's done.
You are welcome to come. You don't have to let me know. You don't have to make an appointment. Just come on down.
Okay, last thought.
Please vote. This process, this amazing, incredibly vibrant republic that we live in doesn't work if we don't practice and engage in our democracy. And so, you know, please cast your ballot if you live in District 2. And if you are live in District 2 and you're not registered, you can still register to vote in this election. Come down to the office. You can register and vote at the same time.
Okay, so you can register on the day you vote.
Correct. Kathy, and that's a provisional ballot, but it will count.
But,
then once count we verify everything.
Kathy Garland Allen, County Registrar, thank you so much. If there's any kind of consternation, which I don't think there will be after February 1st, I'm sure you'll come in and just we'll talk about it. But I'm sure there won't be. Thank you so much. Hey, when we come back, Reading Police Department joins us.
All right.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Jackknifing near Fredericksburg Monday. The roads were slick with ice and snow. State Department of Transportation officials say they were not able to pre-treat roadways because the rain would have washed it away. Drivers sent pleas for help on social media about running out of food and water and asking what was happening. By late Tuesday afternoon, the DOT said only abandoned cars remained on the roadway. The storm also left passengers on an Amtrak train stranded in Virginia Monday morning when downed trees blocked the tracks. I'm Julie Walker.
Chicago schools have canceled classes today after the teachers' union voted to switch to remote learning due to record COVID-19 levels. A key Democrat remains wary of changing Senate rules to advance an election reform bill.
Senator Joe Manchin told reporters Tuesday,
"I'm talking. I'm not agreeing to any of this."
On Monday, Schumer said the Senate will debate and consider easing the filibuster rules by January 17th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as Democrats push for voting legislation. But Manchin remains skeptical.
The need for us to protect democracy as we know it and the Senate as it has operated for 232 years are extremely, extremely high bars that we must be very careful if we're willing to cross those.
Mike Gracia, Washington.
Stocks are mixed. The Dow ahead by 70, the NASDAQ down 99. Town Hall.
I invested in one of those fancy new exercise bikes. Without a doubt, a very special tool to help me get healthier. The problem is 3 days go by, then four, and I've done nothing. And then it's night five, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and I look down at myself, and I can't help but just laugh. Because there I am, wearing the exercise t-shirt that came with the bike, and I'm eating two corn dogs. I think we'd all agree, the special tool only matters if we use it to our benefit. At United Faith Mortgage, we believe we have an advantageous tool for you. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions. There's no middleman. And often, this allows us to get you a better rate on your refinance or new home purchase, which can save you monthly and lifelong money. We or United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The campaign in support of a fourth shot of the COVID-19 vaccine continues in Israel. The latest from the media line's Felice Friedson.
As the Omicron variation soared from less than 1,000 to almost 7,000 new infections in a week, Israel's prime minister is lobbying his nation to accept a fourth dose of the COVID-19 vaccination. At Tel Aviv Sheba Hospital, where testing on the fourth dose is underway, Naftali Bennett announced to the nation that, a week into the fourth dose, we know to a higher degree of certainty that the fourth dose is safe. He added that those with the fourth dose are showing a four-fold increase in antibodies. On Sunday, Israel made the booster available to those over 60. On Monday, a record 10,000 cases were reported. I'm Felice Friedson, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and at townhall.com. Indian police have arrested three people in connection with an app that shared photos of more than 100 Muslim women saying that they were on sale.
Two of the accused have been arrested from the northern state of Uttarakhand, while one was detained in the southern city of Bangalore. The content they shared has been blocked, and police say they're investigating further to find out who was behind the app. This is the second time in 6 months that scores of Muslim women in India, many of them journalists, activists and politicians, have found their photos shared on an app saying they were up for auction. The purpose was to humiliate the women, many of whom have been vocal about the rising tide of hardline Hindu views under Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government.
That's correspondent Lagita LeMay with the BBC. A second man has been arrested in a shooting at the Mall of America in Minnesota last week that left two people wounded. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 5th of January, 2022. 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared is at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
What national day is it today?
You know, we don't have the calendar anymore, but I did look it up.
But it's, you know what today is.
It's Bird Day.
You know what today is?
Wednesday.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Linda, what's the weather to be followed by Jared?
All right. Well, it's currently 49 degrees in the downtown studios. It looks like we're going to have a high of 53 tonight with chance of rain and then patchy fog. Tonight, it looks like we have chance of rain and then patchy fog again with 43. Tomorrow calls for the same kind of, you know, that kind of icky weather, but it'll be a high of 56 overnight, lows of 46. Friday calls for 100% chance of rain with a high of 52, and Friday night, 39. Now, this weekend, get ready for a beautiful, mostly sunny day on Saturday with 56, overnight lows of 37, and Sunday, high of 57. So a beautiful, clear weekend, and we need the rain. So, hey, Dave's Killer Bread. The truck just drove by. That is my favorite bread, by the way. Dave's Killer Bread. Anyway, so that's just a little side note. And there's a, just remember when you're coming by, I hate to do this because we got our policeman on right now, but we've got a traffic cop right there in the, right across from the studios. We're waving to him. Hey, and the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. So don't be speeding there in front of the studio.
No, you know what he's looking for? Cell phones.
I'm not flashing,
He's looking for cell phones and seatbelts. And he never sits there. He never sits there longer than 5 minutes.
365-3793 for Shasta. You missed that. I'm not.
But I know. I got it.
Anyway.
So you have.
It would have been a time that would have been. Oh, there you go.
It took him less than 5 minutes.
Do not be texting.
Do not be on your phone.
In your car.
If you're on Market Street today.
Don't.
They're out there working.
Yep. Hey, you're getting your money's worth.
With us this morning.
Next break. Okay.
With us this morning
is Captain Brian Cole.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, our thanks for having
Captain.
Me.
Reading Police Department looks like, you know, I looked at the rest of the captains. They look aged.
have me back in a couple of years. We'll see how I look.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I want to share with everybody that I was honored to be asked to be on a committee that was the, like a citizen committee, to pick, in a selection process, and it was really wonderful for me because it was, I think there were there 4 or 6 candidates that were going to be promoted, and so there was there were 3 citizens, and we each had, a questionnaire. So, with those questionnaires, then we would, give a numerical what we thought and would write little notes. And then afterwards, we all sat in a room where you had people who actually, came in from Sacramento that were with the department there and then some of your chiefs here and that kind of thing. So what was that process like for you? And can you share a little bit about that outreach with our listeners?
Yeah, sure. The promotional process for us when we're selecting new supervisors is kind of threefold. It starts with what we call a staff input process, and that's where all the supervisors, the current supervisors in the department, get together, and we basically do an evaluation of people's strengths and weaknesses, and then we come up with a scoring system for those individuals. And so that's one portion of it, and that's based on, a lot of qualities, their work ethic, their job performance, their dependability, their decision-making, their calmness under pressure. We discuss all those sort of things. And luckily we're in an apartment, with our size where we know everyone fairly well. So you have a pretty good grasp of the candidate in front of you. And then the second part is what you were involved in. And that was having a citizen panel that comes in and gets to ask a series of questions from each one of the candidates. And while that is going on, we also have a professional panel that you mentioned that is asking a different series of questions in a separate room. And so they do two interviews, the candidates do, and we bring in typically police lieutenants or sergeants from out of the area. That way they don't know that the candidates are getting a clean shot at them, so to speak. And they do an assessment of them, and you come up with your ratings, and then we incorporate, and then those three scores are factored together, and that's how we come out with who's going to be the next supervisor at the Reading Police Department, our sergeants and our corporals.
I've sat on the sergeant's board before, and as far as I was, I think it was sergeant's board, as far as I was concerned, I looked at every one of them, and from the number one to the number eight person, I was very impressed by everybody that was coming up there on the quality of the people that we have working here.
We're very, very fortunate, and it's nice when you have lieutenants coming from other agencies, from big agencies, SAC PD, that are coming in there, and their feedback to you is that you have very qualified people. That is nice to hear, and it shows that we're doing a good job of growing our people in-house and preparing them to be supervisors.
Well, Captain Cole, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, you're a captain now in our police force, so how'd you get here?
Sure. Born and raised here in Reading, went to Enterprise High School, went off in the military for about 5 years. I was in the U.S. Army.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Kind of deployed to various locations and made a decision. My dad was actually sick at the time, so I made a decision to get out of the military. I was hinging on making it a career, but came home. Started waiting tables and bartending and put myself through school and was fortunate enough to be hired by the Reading Police Department back in 2006 and kind of got the full scholarship to go to the academy, and I've been here ever since.
2006 then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
Gosh, 16 years.
Yes,
so we've got another, we've got 15 more years of you.
Yeah, we'll see how far it goes. I think you got at least 10 more of me, but
Okay, 10 more. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll play it by ear. When we get to that point.
Are we? I'm talking to law enforcement people who their legacies. Their dad was a police officer. They're having a tough time talking to their kids about becoming a law enforcement, going into law enforcement.
Yeah, for sure. And
are you seeing that?
Yeah, and I have a 16-year-old right now who very much wants to follow the path that I've gone down. He wants to go into the military, and he wants to be a police officer. And so you don't want to inhibit that and not encourage that. But at the same time, it is difficult as a parent to push your kid in that direction because you know all the challenges that lie ahead. And, police work, although there are similarities, has changed drastically over the last decade or so, and I can only imagine what it will be like in another 10 years if my 16-year-old wants to be a police officer in the state of California.
It's going to be interesting. Hey, we're here with Captain Brian Cole, and what division do you head up, Brian?
So I currently oversee the administration division.
Okay.
So hiring.
But you all rotate through different, I mean, you go from this one to that one or not?
Yeah, we have three different divisions. So we have field operations, which is ran by Captain Brian Barner, and we have the detective division, which is ran by Captain Ron Isley. Mm-hmm. And every few years, just based on needs of the department, they move us around.
Okay, well that's good. So you get you get grounded in being in charge of the three departments there. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Captain Brian Cole of the Reading Police Department. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. You know, you're starting off a new year. How is your investment plan? Is it doing what you want it to do? Is your 401 doing what you want it to do with all this craziness out there? Give Judy a call at 221-0441 and get a second opinion. It never hurts to get a second opinion on your retirement plans or your 401ks. It's a free review and evaluation with one of her experts. She's been doing this since 1993 and being very successful at it. Why? Because she knows what's going on. and she is incredibly a nice person. An incredibly nice person, I should say. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back with Captain Brian Cole.
Recently, Supervisor Modi claimed he helped crack down on illegal cannabis, but it was Modi's actions 6 years ago that dismembered Shasta County's marijuana eradication team. Now, over 7,000 organized grows have invaded Shasta County with devastating effects. Even the Mexican drug cartel finds it easier to grow in Shasta County than in their own country. If you want a safe and secure Shasta County, vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Birch Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Birch Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Birch Construction Management.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
In the last month, Supervisor Modi used our tax dollars to give substantial raises to county department heads, many of which had received raises just 6 months ago. Modi claims the county is currently low on funds, and yet without batting an eye, he willingly raised salaries to individuals who are already grossly overpaid. Don't allow Modi to continue to waste our money. Vote yes to recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, it is. It's Wednesday, and we almost missed it today. But now I know that we've only got two more days to go, two and a half. More days to go. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, receiving 4 out of 5 stars, and that may have even improved on a number of categories, including heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, lack of surgical complications, heart failure, stroke, and hip knee replacement. This and many other reasons is why healing starts here at Shasta Regional Medical Center.
I just want to say this, and I know that I had some friends say that they were listening to Armstrong and Getty, and they said the same thing. I mean, we have this radio station. We have advertisers that pay for space. So we do not necessarily like a restaurant or an event or this recall. I think it's really important to say that we aren't siding with either side, that we come on and we do our show. We ask for all the candidates to come on our show, and that's the nature of our business. It would be like if you had a restaurant, you're not going to not serve somebody because of how they believe. So let's just, I just think it's really important to say that.
Well, we don't endorse local candidates. We think everybody that runs for office should be applauded. Really. We're here with Captain Brian Cole, and from the Reading Police Department, heads up the Administrative Division. A new form came out starting January 1st. It's called the RIPA form.
Correct.
Because it rips into your time that you have to be a proactive policeman. Can you explain to people what the RIPA is?
Sure. It's a Racial Identity and Profiling Act. It was actually passed back in 2015, and then depending on the size of your agency, you had to implement it a certain year. So I think LAPD and some of those bigger agencies have been doing it since 2018 and 19. But it just took effect for our size agency. And so what it is a series of questions. It's about 18 to 20 questions that anytime an officer makes, you know, a proactive contact where they're going to stop, detain someone, search someone, a traffic stop, they have to answer these 18 to 20 questions afterwards, and it has.
Oh, I thought it was more questions than that.
So. Well, that's per individual. So okay. We were talking during the break. You know, if you're a police officer, you know, and you make a proactive traffic stop on a car, and there's a parolee in the car, and you're going to pull everybody out of the car and search. You know, you multiply that by 4. You got
now you have to write it up on each one of them, even though the parolee is just the one guy.
Yeah. So it is something that is, you know, it's a little bit of a morale thing because our officers are very proactive. We're fortunate to have a proactive police department, a community that wants proactivity. But we're also going to comply with what the state tells us to do. So that is something that's brand new that we just rolled out January 1st, and our officers have an app on their phones, and so after they make a contact, they'll be in their car and they'll be filling out all this information that's required that we report to the Department of Justice.
Now, some of the stuff is you have to guess about. I mean, because there's things in there about perceived race before you pulled them over, perceived race after you pulled them over, perceived sexual or perceived sex, perceived age.
Yes, correct.
All that kind of stuff. So you can't ask anybody.
No, you can't ask anybody, and you're not allowed to take any identifying information off of the driver's license.
Oh, I was going to say, why don't you just look at the driver's license? No,
yeah,
you can't do that.
What do you mean you're not allowed to take any identification off the driver's license?
Well, you're not going to put a name, date of birth, or anything like that in there. It is all very much based on what the officer's perceptions are prior to the stop and during the stop. So, I mean, the goal behind it is to you know, increase racial sensitivity with police departments and take a look at if there's racial profiling going on with police departments. I'm confident when we compile our numbers that they're going to be pretty consistent with what the demographics are of Reading.
I was going to say, you guys are then profiling all white people.
Well, we have, come on, you know.
I know, 97%. That was a joke. Okay, now how long, I imagine over as time goes by, it's going to be quicker. I imagine for the first few months it's going to take some time.
Yeah, anytime there's change or there's new stuff that goes into effect, I think it's a little bit of a challenge for our officers, especially as it becomes more of a routine. You know, it will become second nature at some point for them. And the new officers of the future that we're going to hire, they won't know anything different. But for some of our older officers, I think it's a little bit of a frustration.
Is there a written narrative in there, too?
Is there
a written narrative? There's a spot in there too.
Yes, there are some. There are some fields that are just drop down where you can click and select, and there are some that require a couple sentences being written by the officers to explain the justification for the stop and whether or not it resulted in arrests and so forth.
Okay. Anyway, that's going to cut back on time that officers have. Because at least until they can get it down, so it's only going to take them 5 minutes instead of 15. So that means they're off the street doing that.
Yeah, correct.
Does that go into a computer in the main frame, and then somebody has to take a look at it?
Yeah, it goes to our records division, and then we now will have somebody that has to review every single one of those contacts that's filled out, make sure it's done appropriately in compliance with DOJ, Department of Justice standards. And then that data will be compiled and eventually fed to the Department of Justice at some point.
Wow.
Well, I wanted to take a minute here and Jared, our producer, and just because, you know, we've talked about it a little bit on early in the show, but here's just a, you know, an average citizen in Reading that gets ready to do their job, and they come out to their car, and what happened, Jared?
No muffler or catalytic converter. They took the whole thing.
They just cut it off.
So is this a trend, Captain?
Yeah, it is it's a trend nationally. Actually, if you Google, you know, catalytic converter theft, you'll see all sorts of stuff pop up. They'll actually refer to it as an epidemic. I actually Googled it because we were talking during the break right before I came in here. And there's a senator or somebody out of D.C. that's proposing a new bill for higher punishment for this sort of theft. But there's a metal in those converters that is extremely valuable, and so they go anywhere from $100 to $500 on the black market. And you'll see some of these videos that are out there, and these crews are professional. They get up underneath your car with a cutting tool, and they'll cut it out in about 60 seconds, and they're gone. So it is something that we've seen an increase of. I know our detective division had a detective assigned to it in the fall as a result of some of the spike that we've seen, but it is a statewide and national spike in theft in that particular area.
Didn't y'all catch somebody with a bunch of them not too long ago?
Yeah, we had an interesting situation where we had ended up being a fatal traffic collision on Cypress Avenue where a pedestrian was hit by a moving truck, and when we got there, the back of the truck was filled with catalytic converters, and they were down out of Oregon, so there was an investigation into that as well, a secondary investigation.
So what's the metal do, if you followed it, you talk about in the black market, what is the metal, where are they being shipped, these things, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but what is that metal used for?
Yeah, I think it's one of those precious metals that is like an anti-corrosive metal. It starts with an R. I can't recall the name of it off the top of my head, but
rhodium.
Rhodium, yes.
Rhodium. Yep.
So,
yep.
So it's very valuable, very much like silver and copper. You know, years ago we were having all the air conditioning theft units where they were being parts of them were being cut out. They get sold to these scrap yards. Some of them get used at, you know, black market automotive shops where they're buying.
You can go back and buy a catalytic converter.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know,
okay, right here it says black market for catalytic converters is growing. That's right there.
This has been going on since last year. I mean, you see this. What can people do about this, Brian? I mean, how do you try to prevent this?
It's tough because it's a crime that can be committed so quickly. It's very much similar to like smashing a window out and taking a purse off.
I mean,
of,
you could have it be having dinner someplace and park your car on the street, and it could happen while you're dining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, video surveillance definitely helps us. I was asking about video surveillance during the break because if we have a vehicle associated with it, that's helpful. We can push that out on social media or we push it out to our patrol officers. And then they look for those specific cars that are cruising through the neighborhoods at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning that are doing exactly what just happened. So video surveillance is definitely helpful when you make a report.
We have there's a couple of Facebook sites that have photos of people, you know, stealing things in their cars and the cars they're in. Does that help?
Yeah, that sort of stuff definitely does help. Theft is a problem in California because there's very little accountability for individuals that commit theft now. I know we've talked about that on the show in the past. But you see some of the property crime stuff that's going on across the state, San Francisco, the Bay Area, where it's completely out of control.
We're here with Captain Brian Cole from the Redding Police Department. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. My barbershop of choice for the last 14 years. They work by appointments only. Give them a call at 244-9478. It's man's last stronghold. No Dr. Phil on the TV. We'll be right back.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Dale Ball, candidate for Shasta County District 2 Supervisor. I want you to take a hard look at your choices for the recall special election on February 1st, and you will see that I am the most qualified candidate.
Everyone in Shasta County wants a safe place to raise our families. But unfortunately, our current elected officials have failed us. Shasta County should be one of the safest counties in California, not one of the most unsafe.
Paid for by the committee to elect Dale Ball, District 2 Supervisor, 2022.
This is Carl Bott. Join Ted Leidy and me on the last Thursday of each month for North State Now as we discuss things that men talk about. If you've ever wanted to hear what men talk about when they're all together, tune in at 6 p.m. the last Thursday of each month and hear politics, hunting, the bourbon of the month, and much more. All of this on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. The Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2173 Hilltop Drive. For all your tobacco needs, they have all the accessories. They have every type of tobacco you can imagine, pipe tobacco, rolling tobacco, they have it all there, plus great service, great customer service, and the grab bags of cigars, and the finest walk-in humidor north of Sacramento, maybe even including Sacramento. All this at Tobacco and Brew, 2173 Hilltop Drive, open 6 days a week. We're here with Captain Brian Cole of the Reading Police Department, and we want to talk about recruiting and our new officers and this, and how are we doing now?
Yeah, so we've made a lot of progress since last time I was on the show back, I think, in May or June of last year. We were down about 15 officer positions, and we're pretty close to having only, I think, maybe about 4 or 5 vacancies right now. So we've made some significant progress.
So are we up to where we were in 2008 when we lost so many?
No, and that is a goal that the chief is routinely working on. We're up to 110 sworn. We were 119 sworn back in 2008. We dropped down to about 98, so we've made progress. But the Chief Shuler is continuing to work to try and acquire more resources and positions. And I know a goal of ours is to get back to those pre-2008 levels as far as our policing capabilities.
What does 119 officers give us?
It gives us 119, well, really, if you look at statistics-wise for a city our size, we should probably be closer to about 130 officers, realistically. But 120 officers gives us detectives. It gives us adequate patrol staff to respond to in-progress incidents and crime reports. And it also gives us several proactive policing units. It gives us the neighborhood police unit. It gives us our downtown bike team, which we're hoping to start here in the next couple months. And it gives us our crisis intervention response team that we just started last year that deals specifically with individuals with mental health issues and trying to get resources to some of the homeless. So it gives us a wide variety. When you are hovering between 98 and 110, it feels very much like you are constantly struggling to just meet your minimums.
We have 7 officers now covering 60 square miles.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Would that give us like 2 more out there?
We would like to add so that we have 8 to 9 officers on every single shift.
Okay.
That's what we'd like to see. I think if we got to 130, that would definitely be a capability. Reading is continuing to grow. The tax base has been good. So we'll see what the future holds. But I realistically think we're going to continue to add some positions going into the future to include our support staff. You know, as you add more officers and you add additional CSOs, you need to have additional records techs, you need to have additional personnel to process the hiring, the backgrounds.
Yeah, you've got the point of the spear, but you need the spear behind it so that we don't get bogged down.
Yeah, absolutely. And at any given time, you need to plan for approximately up to 10% of your staff that's out injured with long-term injuries or...
I was told that 12 years ago, you know, by whoever the police chief was, and it's been so many, that at any one time, 10% of your officers are down.
Yeah, we routinely have people that are out, you know, with significant knee injuries, back injuries, either from the wear and tear of the job long-term or from significant fights or critical incidents that they've been involved in. And then there's some mental health aspects there as well. The job definitely takes its toll over the course of a career. So
the people you're recruiting, where do you find them?
So we have been pretty fortunate as of lately. Lateral officers from other agencies, you know, we were able to hire several in the summer and fall of last year. A lot of times we're grabbing them from smaller agencies around us like Eureka, Red Bluff, Tehama, those sort of places.
But which just makes them happy.
Yeah. it is a little tougher to get people from the Bay Area to jump up here. I don't think they quite realize the life that exists up here, that this is a community that's very supportive of law enforcement.
I would think that you would go out and you just, you know, if you went to Seattle or Portland or, the Bay Area or some of those places, that those men and women would be running down here.
Yeah.
You know, and begging for a position. I mean, we pay well.
Yeah,
you live
absolutely.
Even though that, yes, it's violent out there, but not as violent as it is there. We don't have riots every weekend.
Yeah, correct.
So why did they stay in that kind of job?
You know, that's a good question. We hired one out of the Bay Area last year, and he loves it up here. He's like, I had no idea that you could have a nice house with property and live up here, you know, and have a community that supports you and loves the police. Yeah, that, you know, that
will with all your fingers.
That by the time you get up to pay for your coffee at Dutch Bros, it's already been paid for by the person in front of you. You know, there's a lot of that up here. And so that's the message that we push out when we are recruiting to these agencies. And we are hitting some of the police academies down in the Bay Area, sending that message as well that, you know, come up to Reading. We are still a proactive police department, and we have a community that appreciates the work that you do.
I've said this for 12 years. Everybody's ignored me, probably for good reason, is that you all should go down to Camp Pendleton. When they do the, you know, everybody transitions out, that's getting out, fine young men and women. That would be great, probably great policemen. You get, you know, their MPs or whatever they were, and that you tell them, lay it out what we have up here. I would think you'd have like a company those young Marines.
To know we interviewed a Marine yesterday that's getting ready to get out of the military in March, and we put him in the background. So we're hoping that he'll be a police officer. He's a homegrown product from here. His dad's a business owner.
Oh, that's great.
And we're hoping, you know, in 2023, he'll be a police officer on the streets of.
But he came back here, though.
He is coming back. Yeah.
He is coming back. I just see that it's such an important job. You want the best and brightest, which leads to the next question. You used to have 30 applicants for every job. What's it look like now?
Well, for the lateral positions, it is constantly open. I mean, if we get a lateral applicant from another agency that puts in, we're typically calling them within a day or two and asking them when they want to come up for a ride-along and when they'd like to do an interview.
Okay.
Because across the state, every single agency is looking for lateral officers. You see some of these signing bonuses in the Bay Area have gone to $40,000 and $50,000 if you transfer to an agency. Ours is $10,000 right now. Which is not nearly as much, but it's a trade-off with the quality of life and the cost of living that you get up here versus working in Oakland or, you know, some of those cities down there. So,
But what about just a young man or woman graduated from college or came out of the military? Hey, I'd like to be a policeman up here. So,
yeah.
I mean, there used to be, I was told that when you advertised, we have openings, there'd be dozens and dozens of people applying, but that number's dropped.
It has dropped because I think for the younger generation, you know, they see what's on television, they see what's being pushed out there, and law enforcement is a challenging career, so it takes a certain type of individual that really has a desire to serve their community, and knows, has some idea of what they're going to get into. But we have had a lot of progress with our recruits. We call them recruits, sending them to the academy, and we've been able to put 4 to 5 recruits in almost every academy. So we just graduated. Actually, we hired 2 out of the Napa Police Academy, 1 out of Siskiyou, and 3 out of Butte. So we have right now, with a couple laterals, we have 7 brand new officers that are in field training right now that hopefully will make it through.
And 7 new officers in field training. Now, statistically, 4 of those guys will make it.
Yeah, it depends. The laterals generally are about a 90% success rate. Sure. Recruits hover a little bit closer to about the 50% rate.
50%. Okay.
And we're constantly trying to find ways to improve that.
Yeah, it's not easy. But then you find, though, is that they find this is not something once they get out on the street. Oh, maybe I don't want to do this.
Yeah, for sure. We have had a few that have gotten out there that have struggled and realized and have had that honest moment where they can tell their training officer, I don't think I'm cut out for this job.
You hear this because you're the one that does this. What's the biggest reason that people want to come into the law enforcement?
I think we're pretty fortunate that we have a lot of people that were born and raised in this area that feel some sort of commitment or obligation to still being a part of the community and giving back to the community. So it is very common when we're sitting on interview panels that we're interviewing kids, you know, that are from Siskiyou County or Trinity County or Shasta County or Foothill grads. Or Enterprise grads, Shasta grads.
But they want to protect and serve. They want to make a difference. I mean, are those the kind of things you hear? Or?
Yeah. So there are.
I mean, I really like to pay. I mean,
we don't typically hear that. Our agency does have good pay and benefits. Our officers are fortunate with being taken care of in that aspect. But typically, that brand new recruit that's coming in the door very much has that kind of. the excitement about it. They want to get into it for a variety of reasons.
So. Oh, who wouldn't? Do you have an age limit?
Well, there's been several laws that have been passed recently. We're always dealing with that. So you have to be 21 years of age to be an officer. So
what's the top level?
Why are you asking that
question? I just thought I'd ask.
I see you looking over at Linda there. Are you thinking?
Well, what's the top level? I mean, if you can get through post.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a cutoff. It is definitely, you don't see typically a lot of people that are in their late 30s or 40s that are wanting to become police officers. Although we are in backgrounds with an individual that's 38 years old, prior military.
Yeah.
We just hired a 40-year-old. He had been a banker his whole life, and he just made the realization one day that he was not happy doing what he was doing, and he wanted to serve.
Wow.
And he put himself into the academy. We just hired him out of Napa.
A banker.
Jeez, I like this story.
If he makes it through, would love to have him.
Yeah, I love that.
You're 40 years old. You've been a banker. You've got you were doing that. Why? That would be a great.
Love it.
Yeah.
No, that's super.
He's a great success story. We're very happy to get him out of Napa.
Here's what I think. When I hear people talking about age, and they're talking about this aged veteran, he's retiring by the name of Roethlisberger, from the Steelers. He's 39. I'm hearing this. He's 39. Oh, my God, he's aged. And I'm looking at it at 39. At 58, I was still running through the streets of Ramadi and Fallujah. And so I look at age. So it's so individual.
It is.
It is.
40-year-old, or you get a guy that spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. He enlisted when he was 18. He comes out at 38, 39.
Yep.
I mean, he's got a lot to offer.
His
wife's not over.
Absolutely. Big standards to hold up to.
Absolutely. Typically, our new applicants we're seeing are generally kind of in their 20s to early 30s. We don't typically see them in their late 30s or 40s. But
Well, let me tell you this, though. Running down the streets at age 58, really indelibly imprinted into my mind. I don't, it's like the song, I'm as good once. Mm-hmm. To do that every day,
it does wear.
Once or twice a week, but and being a police officer, it's a constant grind. And I can understand.
Yeah, our officers definitely have to work on staying very physically and mentally fit to be sharp out there.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're here with Captain Brian Cole of the Reading Police Department, in charge of the administrative division. It does all the hiring and the firing and makes sure every report, all the people, everything is working. And if you don't understand how hard that is, go watch him for a day. Because it's one thing to ride around the car and get out and swagger over to something. But everything from that point on, Brian's got to make sure it works. So, correct.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Oh, gosh.
It is definitely a challenge, but we have a lot of good people. As a captain, you're only as good as the people that work for you. And I have a lot of great sergeants that work in my division, and our patrol captain has a lot of great sergeants, the detective division, and underneath those frontline supervisors, we have a lot of great people. So when you have great personnel, it makes it a lot easier to be a supervisor.
Yeah.
And the rest of the stuff is just the noise that every single administrator has to deal with in the state of California.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
Jesse Ryan, under the name of Streetlight, riding slow.
Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi. My name is Woody Clendenin, and I'm a small business owner in Shasta County. I, like you, have watched as Modi has gone along with Governor Newsom's draconian mandates on our businesses and schools. He is supported by known socialists and BLM activists, and he doesn't make decisions with the interests of the people in mind. And it's time we elect someone who does. Vote yes to recall Leonard the Rhino Modi. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Wind River Resort and Casino with Primal Fighting Championship presents
Fight Night.
Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, January 15th.
It's in the cage.
Full contact fighting.
This intense action-packed event sells out. Get your tickets now.
Call 1-800-280-UIN to reserve a room in our hotel and purchase tickets.
Great entertainment is happening with cage fighting at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, January 15th.
Tickets start at $35 plus fee.
Must be 21 to attend.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Do you have a friend that won't shut up about crypto? Are you interested but don't know where to go? What is Web3? How does it affect me? Who benefits from DeFi? Is one crypto best? Why? There's so much to know. Get answers with Tokens Radio Show. Connect with us on Telegram at t.me/tokensradioshow or tokensradioshow.com.
Sunday afternoons from 2 to 3.
Hi, my name is Martin Reed, and I'm one of the teachers here in Shasta County who started the school walkout in protest of mandates. I'm sick of government overreach. Tim Garman, the president of Happy Valley School Board, voted to not enforce the mandates in his school district. Now, he is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, and Tim will end the mandates in Shasta County as well. Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi, and vote for Tim Garman. No more mandates. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Jared does, plays a song just to make me happy. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Tomorrow, Thursday, Trish Clark joins me, and we'll have Simpson University, and we're also going to have Dale Ball on at 7 o'clock running for in the recall as for a supervisor position. At this point, we've had three of the four people running. We have an invitation out if we can find out where to send it correctly to Tony Hayward. And then, of course, we've invited Leonard Modi to come on. But today we have Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department. And Captain Cole is in charge of the administrative side of the Reading Police Department. And if you've ever been at the Pointy Inn, and he has been on the Pointy Inn, you know, and SWAT and all these other things he's done, you appreciate so much the people that get you ammo and make sure you get paid, you know, all those things that happen.
Leadership.
The leadership that it takes to do something like this. So we appreciate what you've done and what you've achieved, Captain.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We were talking about the bicycle crew. That we want to talk about, the bicycle patrol for downtown here. Do we have a downtown police unit right now?
We don't have a downtown police unit. We've acquired a substation over there in Foundry Square with a, some assistance from Sheila Hurst, the property owner there. So we have kind of a substation set up that some of our officers are using. We're hoping to stand up the downtown bike team this spring. And we were allocated those positions back, I believe, in May of last year. But, you know, once new positions are allocated, you have to go through the background process and hire. And then you can't select people for that team until you have bodies to replace the people that you're going to pull from patrol. So we're getting very close to that point, and I think it will be happening soon. Additionally, the Chief Schuler is looking to try and put two more individuals on our crisis intervention response team so that we can have coverage 7 days a week. Right now it's during the weekday side, and we're hoping to stretch that to 7 days a week with four officers total.
Is that when you arrest most people then?
On the weekends or?
On the weekdays.
No, just typically our call volume is a lot higher during the weekdays than it is on the weekends. So that's why the crisis intervention response team went to that side. So.
Okay. I just was wondering why. Do y'all use electric bikes now?
Yes. Yeah. We have some of the old ones.
It's kind of like cheating, but isn't it? When you're chasing these guys?
Yeah, the officers.
No, it's not. You want to get to them faster.
The officers love them. They're very nice.
They're efficient.
Yeah. I wish we had them when I was on the bike team.
When you were on the bike team?
A lot of pedaling in hot summers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we have been...
do you have our crime statistics?
Sure, I can touch on that. I just want to add, we do have... we have been putting officers out on overtime on bikes that have been patrolling the downtown area, and you may have seen them come by. We just don't have the dedicated team yet, but that will be soon.
We saw somebody we knew very well, known him for a long time. He came by on his bicycle and stopped and talked to us.
Right on.
So
that's great. And that's what we want. We want that unit out interacting with the business owners and addressing problems.
It means a lot when you got somebody on the street there, because bad guys will look up and it's two blocks away.
For sure.
See them. It's like a radar they have.
For sure. We want that presence, and there's a lot of growth coming to downtown Reading.
We've had a couple murders lately. We've had out on, I think it was on, out past on Oasis Road. We've had violence. What do the statistics look like for the last year?
So typically we don't have our stats finalized until about February or March of the following year, but we are always taking a look at our statistics for crime trends and patterns and evaluating resources. 2020 was obviously an anomaly because so much of the county and the country was shut down. So we actually saw quite a bit of a drop in property-related crimes in 2020.
Sure.
We have now moved back where our stats are consistent with what they were in 2019. We're trending in that direction. So I don't believe that there has been necessarily an increase in violent crime, but our property crime has come back up over last year, definitely. And a big part of that is, I think, theft and burglary and vehicle theft had dropped a lot in 2020.
Because people were not out.
People weren't out. People were home.
Yeah.
Cars weren't being stolen from driveways when people were gone to work. That has all picked back up, unfortunately, which is to be expected.
The thing that concerns me, we only got a couple minutes left, and I'll give those to you, is that 80-year-old woman, that guy came in and beat her up and took off. You know, it's one thing for thugs to beat up other thugs, you know, over drugs or whatever, but when they start coming into houses, what does that tell you? Have we been seeing more of that?
No, typically we don't see a lot of that. That individual knew that elderly woman and had done work at her house before.
Right.
But with that type of individual who is a true career criminal.
Yeah, he was out on the streets on, what, parole, probation, something?
Yeah, I can't remember the specifics of it, but we had significant dealings with him. But that's an individual that has definitely pushed hard in a criminal direction. I mean, someone that's going to get in a shootout with a police officer rather than go back to prison says a lot about that individual's mindset at that time.
Okay, you get the last word here. We got like about a minute and a half.
Oh, I appreciate being on here. I appreciate the support that the two of you give to the Reading Police Department. You know, the biggest thing from my perspective as a captain is we are trying to build the Reading Police Department of the future. We're looking for good qualified people, not only in police recruit positions or lateral positions, but also for police cadets, for our records technicians. I think there's a lot of positive growth that's coming. And so if you are looking for a good but challenging career, the Reading Police Department is hiring.
There you go. That's good.
Thank you so much for being our guest. You're always a ray of sunshine.
Well, you know what, Captain Schuller, or Chief Schuller, I should say, believes in spreading the wealth around so that people get to know his captains, and then, people in different parts of the organization, so people have a better idea.
He likes his captains and lieutenants to come on the radio programs and interact with the media. And he also, a big push of his, too, is that we have some sort of involvement in community boards. I sit on the First Five Commission for First Five Shasta, and most of our captains and lieutenants are involved in various organizations within the community. So we try and have that positive interaction.
Sure, of course you do. Okay, thanks so much, Captain Brian Cole.
All right.
Like I said, tomorrow, Trish Clark and I welcome Simpson University, and Dale Ball will be on at 7 o'clock.
Cool.
Everybody have a great day. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys, which are you.
Okay. Well, I won't back down.
No, I won't. KCNR.